There for the internet. Call our meeting to order. Sherry Velkamp is going to open us with prayer, and then we'll have the pledge if everybody'd stand.
We just come before you, Heavenly Father, in an attitude of humbleness, gratitude, and prayer today for our county, for our leaders, and for our people. We ask, dear Lord, that you will just let the peace and joy of Christmas settle on us all. Pray, dear Lord, in this coming year that you will give us vision and purpose and power to change this corner of the world and spread throughout the nation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Sherry. Okay, we're ready for minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of 12:14, 12:15, 12:16, and 12:17.
I'll second the motion. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next, we're ready for accounts payable.
Motion to approve accounts payable. I didn't see anything in there that was...
It's okay to me. Second the motion. Any questions or comments there? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Didn't see any journal entries or transfers. Okay.
No.
We're ready for public comment. Bob?
Good morning.
Morning.
I hate to start something like this on the week of Christmas, but somebody's got to do it. Headline of the Taney County Times, elected officials to see pay increase in 2011. I think that is disgraceful. I know it says you have to go up to the assessed valuation. The assessed valuation is not a true assessed valuation. I'm trying to sell two homes now. I cannot get for those homes what I paid to build them 17 years ago. So the valuation is really down. There's, according to 60 Minutes last night, 7 million people unemployed in this country. And if you take those that were given an hour off a day or 2 hours off a day or a day off, it's 17 million. Our help in the county, I understand, did not get any raises, the regular people. But yet, the salary commission got together and said, well, we're not giving ourselves a raise. This is for those elected in November. It's not right. You're setting a bad example. It's awful. And I just don't understand. It is awful. I've talked to a lot of people since this paper came out. There's a lot of people are not happy with it. And I know people said, we'll explain this. There's no explaining. The country is in a bad shape, and what happened at 1 o'clock this morning is going to make it even worse. Social Security, I don't know if I've got it, but of course you know the answer. I left it at home, but nobody receiving Social Security is getting a raise this year. Nobody. And you guys, it's wrong. It's wrong, it's wrong, and I hope that people do and vote you out. In fact, they ought to get you out now somehow.
Okay. Bob, if you'd have opportunity, I'd love to sit down with you. After the meeting, I think we'll have a fairly short meeting. If you could hang around, maybe we could just meet up here and sit down. I've got some information for you.
I'll do that. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
I think I'm next on the agenda.
Okay. Donna?
I'll try to make it real short and just explain some things. While it's true that our employees are not going to receive a raise beginning January 1, that doesn't mean that they won't receive a possible raise, midterm raise during the year, which was discussed by our commission, if there is a turnaround in our county finances. There's also something that the public doesn't realize, and that is that our citizens, our employees, generally receive a raise every year, oftentimes a 50-cent raise, which would equate to $1,000 a year. In a four-year period, that could be a $4,000 raise. An elected official only gets a raise once every 4 years if the assessed valuation goes up. In this case, we would only get a $2,000 raise for our current assessed valuation. So our employees are actually getting, if they received a 50-cent raise, which many of them did each year, will have actually received $2,000 more in that four-year period. And they would have received it before we ever did. The other thing that should be known is that our motion to set it at 100% would had to be made, because we cannot lower the wages of elected officials. And the reason we can't lower them is because the statutes tell us we can't. And the assessed valuation kicked in as of January 1, 2009. All those elected officials who took office went to 53,000. So those who will take office on January 1, 2011 have got to be raised to be equal, because there are statutes that say that our salaries all have to be the same. So, but the way the terms work, that work every other, it's split where part of them go up this 2 years and then part of them go up the next 2 years. So the assessed valuation that we voted on the day, if we hadn't voted, the same thing would have occurred by action of law. Have I stated that correctly, Bob?
Yes. Is it too late to sign up?
No, if you want to speak, go ahead. Thank you, Donna.
I hope that helps.
She did make, Donna Neely did make a correct point that employees generally get raises of some kind each and every year. It is illegal for any elected official to receive a raise during their term of office unless they're given additional duties by statute. The Laclede County case, I think, versus Douglas, the statute itself said that commissioners could receive a one-time raise when they went from associate commissioners from 2 to 4 years because of that. And the Supreme Court said, no, they didn't get additional duties and they have to pay that money back. They can't get a raise midterm. The Constitution says you can't get a raise midterm. So the only way to get a raise is for the Salary Commission to say, this is going to be your salary in the next term of office. And you don't vote your own salary because you don't know if you're going to be reelected. So it's the same now with the federal Constitution for the last, 15 or 20 years. You can't get an increase during your term of office. So this $2,000 increase, which was required because a couple of officials have already received the couple of $1,000 increase, and in order to undo that, it would take a two-thirds vote, and theirs would have to be decreased down to what everybody else's were in order to get it down. It amounts to $2,000 over a four-year period, 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014. Making $50,000 a year, a $500 increase per year is 1%. Generally, the consumer price index, not this year, and they're not getting a raise this year, okay? No elected official is getting a raise this year. 1% is usually less than the consumer price index, usually less than half of the increase in the consumer price index. So if you give your elected officials a $500 per year increase in salary, you're giving them, in effect, a reduction in salary concerning the buying power of that same dollar. And they had the opportunity as a salary commission to vote themselves COLAs, okay? Adjustments of salaries, cost of living adjustment. That's what the COLA stands for. They could do that. And the statute says if they do that, they can't receive any more of a COLA increase than the least of their employees do. So they'd have to do COLAs for the employees. So they could connect their increase in salary during the midterm to the cost of living adjustments given to the employees. They could call those raise cost of living adjustments, and then they would just get a cost of living adjustment, which would amount to, I assure you, much more than $500 per year without voting themselves a raise. So $500 a year is a reduction in salary. It's not an increase. When you take into the fact cost of living adjustment. I don't receive anything as an elected official. I receive it as an employee. I think the elected officials deserve at least a cost of living adjustment. The employees receive much more percentage per year, although this year they won't, or may not. The elected officials certainly aren't this year. The employees may next year. Certainly within the next 4 years, I would assume, or at least hope and pray, that the economy will do a lot better and that the consumer price index will be more than 1% per year. But no one got a raise because of this motion. The motion had to be made, or a two-thirds vote had to be made to reduce down the salaries of at least a couple of officials who are already receiving the increase due to the assessed valuation. And what we've done, the Salary Commission has done traditionally over the last several years, is set it at 100% of the schedule. The schedule's set out there for a reason, and they set it at 100% of the schedule, and we meet assessed valuation. They simply vote what they've always voted, and it only changes because the schedule changed and the assessed valuation changed.
Bob, before you sit down, I have a question. You mentioned the schedule just towards the end there, and you've talked about raises. Explain the schedule. I mean, that it's statute, and the $2,000, where did that come from? Where did that number come
from?
Okay.
In 5343, there is a schedule, and that schedule says that if your assessed valuation is a certain amount, the schedule says the salaries of certain offices will be this amount. Well, since the last time, our salaries, our assessed valuation has gone to, I think, $1,019,000,000, which falls within the category that says $53,000 for a lot of offices, as opposed to the earlier category that said $51,000 for those offices. So simply what happened is they said, we're going to make the motion we always make to have 100% of the schedule. And the assessed valuation went up, so the salaries go up by $2,000, but they don't go up this year. They go up when the commissioners and the treasurers and the whatever office it is, whenever they take office, that's when it takes effect. It doesn't take effect now. And in fact, that motion was made the last time, and two elected officials were already receiving the 100% of the schedule based on that assessed valuation prior to the motion being made this time. And it's not just the three commissioners that sit on the Salary Commission. It's pretty much all of the elected officials in the county. And the elected officials in the county would never receive a raise, ever, if the people didn't want them to receive a wage or they'd an increase in wages, they'd always vote them out, then you would never vote to give yourself an increase in salary. Why it's left to the Salary Commission and puts them in a bad spot is beyond me. But they've done nothing that they haven't always done, and that's vote to take the money that's supposed to be for that assessed valuation. That's all they did according to the schedule. That's what they've always done. So they didn't vote themselves a $2,000 increase this year.
One more point, if I could. Clarify the, I think it's not fair and right, but in the newspaper, the statute says that the presiding commissioner gets $2,000 more than the associate commissioners. That $2,000 more is the same salary as all the other elected, not all, but the majority
right.
of the elected officials.
Correct.
So the statute, I guess I'm answering my question instead of asking.
It gives the associate commissioners $2,000 less than all the other elected officials
exactly.
generally. And it's not always $2,000 more for the presiding. He may be making the same, or sometimes he may be making $4,000 more. It's a real problem with the construction of the statute. Basically, what they're saying is the schedule for the presiding commissioner is $2,000 more than the schedule for the associate commissioners. And the presiding commissioner is put on the schedule with the other elected officials, so that really means that the associate commissioners make $2,000 less than the other elected officials. So
that's my point. Thank you. Go.
I don't know. I'm asking this because the company I work for didn't allow us to refuse the salary increase. We even offered to get the small increases they gave us to let it go to some charity, and they wouldn't do that. They said that you have to accept it, then you do what you want with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that?
Excuse me before you answer, Bob. I should have had you come.
I'll repeat the question.
Would you repeat the question?
Okay. Mr. Clay is asking me, because he worked at a company where it was against their rules to refuse a salary increase. Once they took it, they could then donate it to charity or do whatever they wanted to do with it. Is that the same? Is there some law that requires that of elected officials? And the only law that I know of, and I'm speaking off the top of my head here, is that it's illegal for someone to campaign and say that they won't take the full salary. But other than that, I don't know of any other legislation regarding that.
Good question. Thanks for asking that, Bobby.
You remember when JFK was president, he donated his whole salary every year to something he ever took a salary. He wouldn't pay. But some of the other presidents didn't either.
Didn't need it either, I don't think. They said JFK Jr., the dry cleaners used to find all his uncashed paychecks in his jackets. Didn't really need the money, I don't think. But
thank you, Bob.
I want to make a statement.
Okay.
I'm just strictly making this as a statement. It's not to talk about anything that we've talked about here this morning, but I think the people in Taney County are to feel rather fortunate that their county officials make what they make. We had a breakout session 2 or 3 years ago when we went to Jeff City with all the other first-class counties, and every one of the other first-class counties that were in the state besides Taney County made anywhere from $65,000 to $85,000 a year for the commissioners, and at that time we were making $47,000. And so I think the dedicated service that a commissioner puts in and the time that is spent is that the Taney County citizen is getting their dollars worth.
I bet we are the lowest paid elected officials in a first-class county in the state. I bet that's probably true still,
and
by far.
Dan, you mentioned commissioners, but that fits the rest of our elected officials, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bob, you want to make another comment?
I learned something a long time ago when I was in junior high school, and I was told that you never take a job for a certain amount of money and then complain about it later, no matter what it is, whatever the salary is. If you want that salary, you take the job, shut up. If not, go find another job. I'm sure there's other people making more money, but you accepted the job, or everybody here accepted it. Stick with the salary.
I don't think anybody complained about the job, and I think they have to run again and take it for what it pays next time.
Okay. Any other public comment? None? All right. Thank you. Next on our agenda is board appointments for Solid Waste District N. I brought this one up last week, I think it was. We played a little phone tag, but I did get a hold of Mona Manges, I believe I'm saying that close, with the city of Branson, and she is willing to fill the position that Larry Van Gilder is giving up because he's retiring. And as I said last week, checked with the city and, of course, visited with you guys. And so I will make a motion to appoint Mona Menangis, and I don't know how to spell her last name, but I'll get it for you, to fill the seat on the Solid Waste District end. Questions or comments or second?
I think it's very important. I don't know this lady, as you said you didn't know. If and as I understand it, Taney County has taken over the responsibility of leadership in this role.
You're going to make me stumble here, but I'll take a stab at it. It's a district of a half a dozen counties.
Right.
And the fees that you pay at when you dump trash, a small percentage of that goes into this, into a fund, and they do certain things like the trailers that you put your different recyclables. And so there's a number of folks, and I think the county commission is responsible to appoint somebody, and that's all we're doing here.
Okay.
And then that board will work out who's chairman, and Dan Nozlik with our PNZ represents us most all the time. I make a meeting once in a while, but it's on a Tuesday. It's hard for me to get there because of sewer board and other things. But
well, I'll second your motion, but I just wanted you to understand. I think that if I understood right, that we were placed in, because Larry was here originally, that we were placed kind of in a leadership role there.
Excellent point. Larry, yeehaw, that's done a wonderful job. He sat as chairman on that board and done good for the whole area, not just Taney County. But, yeah, good point. Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Next, we're ready for Ozark Mountain Legacy. I'd like to welcome Jory Rolfe to come forward and tell us what's been going on. Good to see you.
Good morning. My name is Jory Rolfe, and it's a pleasure to be here. Merry Christmas to you, and it's a pleasure to stand before you and on behalf of citizens and leaders from across Ozark Mountain Country. Just personally, my family and I came through this area about 5 years ago and fell in love with it here. I have three small children and have loved this area. I believe it's one of the greatest places in all the world to live, work, and play. And as I came to this area, I couldn't believe a place like this still existed. And so as I came into the area, I recognized there were diamonds out here, things that people value, things of value, those core values that we love out here in Ozark Mountain Country. And in my travels, I'd seen other communities have what I call mission drift. You know, they had a vision, and then over time that there was a drift in what their mission and vision was. And just felt really compelled as a citizen of the area to engage leaders and other citizens into a conversation to identify what our mission, vision, and core values were here in Ozark Mountain Country so that we would continue to maintain those core values. In that process, I went to several citizens and elected officials, and we invited a team of people together from across Ozark Mountain Country to come and begin a process to identify what those mission, vision, and core values were for our area, so that we could help you as elected officials to know what the heart of the community is, kind of what the community wants to be as we grow up. And so if I can just share some information with you.
Yeah, that'd be good.
What I've handed you is just a list, first of all, of that legacy team of leaders and citizens that came together. You'll recognize many of these names, people from all across Ozark Mountain Country, starting with John Baltus from Silver Dollar City Foundation, Howard Boyd, Branson Hills pastor, Larry Klein, Rockaway Beach mayor, Doug Hyder, Branson City School superintendent, Sue Head from the College of the Ozarks First Place Initiative, Jack Hershen from Hershen Family Entertainment, Dean Krudoff, Branson City Administrator, Mike Mason from Reed Springs Superintendent, Gail Meyer, Meyer Hotels, David Oliphant, Forsyth Mayor, Chuck Pennell, Taney County Commissioner, Rayanne Presley, Branson Mayor, myself, Ross Summers from the Branson Chamber President, and Rick Ziegenfuss from the Hollister City Administrator. That team of 16 came together to begin a conversation as to how we could come up with a process to get the voice of the citizens to be heard. We had a wonderful process that came out of that. We actually had town hall meetings. This has been about a year and a half in the process of this effort. In that year and a half, we went out and did town hall meetings throughout Branson West, Branson, Hollister, out here in Rockaway Beach, and invited all citizens to come out and share their hearts of what they wanted this area to be as it grew up. We actually had citizens go through 12 questions, some on the culture, some on needs of the area. And the other paper that I gave you was the results of the answers from the citizens on questions like what represents our most significant challenge for our future as we grow, what should be added to enhance our quality of life, how can we, what jobs should we attract, what priorities, how do we cooperatively protect our natural resources, what are the core values of Ozark Mountain Country, why does Ozark Mountain Country exist? Through those town hall meetings and group discussions, we collected almost 400 people spoke into this, and we collected that data. And that team of 16 then brought some professionals in to help us wordsmith that data into a final legacy statement. On that first page that I gave you, just our guiding principle, the Ozark Mountain Legacy Initiative was initiated by a group of community-minded citizens. It is a strategic tool to solidify our core values for the Ozark Mountain communities as we move together toward a preferred future. Starting with the end in mind, area leaders and citizens will come together through a community visioning process to create a strategic legacy for the entire Ozark Mountain region. We'll leave a legacy whether we're intentional or not, and we want it to be, as citizens and leaders, more intentional about our legacy. The OMC legacy key objective is to ensure that the Ozark Mountain area's perception and reality are both driven and aligned with the same set of core values. The legacy process will also gather extensive community perspective on community assets, issues, challenges, visions, values, and opportunities in our Ozark Mountain region. This initiative would be thorough in its scope, expansive in its community input, and aggressive in its implementation. Those professionals that came in to help us also helped us create on that second page what we call the ideal state. As the legacy is up and running, how would we measure that? And I think you'd be encouraged out here in your area. The legacy statements will be used as the key differentiator for our destination and the compelling reason to choose Ozark Mountain Country as a place to live, work, and play. Another key area is that unification of communities, that as we come together cooperatively, we would go across county lines and city lines and work together under an umbrella of core values. There'll be a training curriculum that will be developed for frontline employees and leaders that come into the area. The legacy statements become a filter which to sift ideas or product development. The community showcases great delivery of the mission statement by gathering and sharing the stories of success. And the Ozark Mountain Legacy Statement and Mission Vision Core Values are positioned by the cities as a reason to bring businesses to our community. It's a living document. We'll be revisiting these statements every 5 years. One of our goals is to have it put up on 1,000 walls. We've been able to make some great presentations to the Branson Board of Aldermen, the Hollister Board of Aldermen, to a committee on the chamber. I presented it out to Stone County commissioners, and we just had a great rollout about a week ago to introduce these core values, mission, vision, core values to all of the community and to the world as to who we are in Ozark Mountain Country. Dennis Wood was there as a guest speaker, and he shared that Stone County is fully on board with helping us to move forward in this in these core values. He actually put these statements up at the courthouse, and we invite you guys to do that as well. We have a gift for you. We actually have the framed copy. Businessmen from the area have helped to help us fund to put the nice frames together. And if I can, I'd hand those to you as well.
Great. While you're doing that, Joy, thanks again for asking me the position I'm in. I got to sharing that work. You're a new guy in Taney County, and As you already said, you saw what good things have happened here, and I appreciate your spending a year and a half, and hope you're here for a long time. It was an enjoyable time to spend with you and all those other good leaders, and I'd like to brag on the community. You mentioned it somewhat, but we had how many meetings again?
For the town hall meetings?
Yeah.
Well, we had about 400 the people that came together through these town hall meetings and different sources to come and share.
We met how many different places?
Five, different places across Ozark Mountain Country for town hall meetings.
And just good groups of people, all different, a lot of native folks, a lot of new people, and it's amazing, and I may be stealing what you were getting ready to say.
No.
But amazing how that so many people came up with the same answers. Go ahead.
And Chuck, what came out really isn't anything new to any of us. It's really been those core values that have been here before any of us probably even came. So I just really appreciate the fact that we as a community could come together and identify those and solidify them so that we don't just wonder what they are, but they're actually documented. Just if I can read this, the Ozark Mountain Legacy, our mission is to champion family, faith, friends, and flag forever. Our vision, the legacy of the Ozark Mountain Spirit lives, and it's now our job to pass it on. We all have an Ozark Mountain Legacy story that we love to tell about our area. Our values, family. We honor family values by offering environments and entertainment enjoyable for the whole family. We constantly reinforce a culture of character. We protect the health and safety of all children. We value faith. We recognize a strong faith is a common thread throughout Ozark Mountain Country. We value friends. We treat each other with respect and honesty. We celebrate new friends while keeping old ones. We provide a unique destination that offers a fun place to live, vacation, and grow closer together. We take pride in serving and meeting the needs of others while listening to opportunities to constantly improve. We value our flag. We are a community that upholds our godly American heritage, unashamedly honoring our country, our flag, our Christian origins, and our veterans. We value our future. We work together to continually improve our community and the quality of life for all who live, work, or play in Ozark Mountain Country. We actively and relentlessly protect and enhance our natural beauty, our resources, and our environment. We foster an entrepreneurial culture, and encourage all leaders to be committed to make this area a great place to work. We place a high priority of ensuring quality education to prepare our future generations to pass it on. And through all this, we are guided by Christian biblical values in our area. This is what the citizens of the area communicated as our identity, what we look like on paper. As I stand before you today, we have some great vision as we move forward by having a training committee, a recognition committee to recognize those entities and organizations and individuals that are championing family, faith, friends, future, and flag. We also have a committee that we're working on to collect those stories, those Ozark Mountain stories, to encourage as we pass that on to the future. So our encouragement would be to all that are listening and to you that we follow that vision, that we continue to pass on that Ozark Mountain spirit. And we'd also, other calls to action that we'd like for you to consider is to use these statements as a filter as you make decisions for Taney County and for Ozark Mountain Country. See how they fit in with these core values that the citizens have communicated. We'd also like to ask you to support a legacy citizen task force in each of the areas. This was actually Larry Kine had a vision for this out of Rockaway, that each city would have a legacy task force of citizens and leaders working together to ensure that we continue to keep those gems, those core values, fluid throughout all of our communities. Another area we'd like for you to consider is to seek citizen input in finding creative solutions to our area's known needs. Continue to reach out and invite the citizens into the process. And also to recognize the legacy as the citizen's voice for the continued positive identity for our area. This really is a picture of our culture. And we look forward, Dennis Wood even mentioned how excited he was to see how this was a cooperative effort across the lines of our communities, that under one umbrella we have these common core values and mission and vision. And we just invite you here at Taney County to continue to be a reflection of our community through these core values. I thank you for your time, and I'm more than willing to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Questions for Joy, public or otherwise? Stone County and the Branson Hollister, did they make some resolution or to accept what you've
It's still fairly fresh that I've made those presentations, so they're in the process to look at. If you look on that second page, under the unification of communities, it says each community within Ozark Mountain Country adopts these umbrella statements of the legacy, mission, vision, core value as their own and then personalizes their action steps to represent their unique contributions to the area. We really want this to be a tool that you can use to identify, just to help in decision-making, but we really want to leave it to each of the organizations to make their decisions to see how they fit, how they can help live and support these statements.
And you mentioned the 12 questions that were asked that put this together, and those are available if somebody's interested at OzarkMountainLegacy.org?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And I would encourage you as commissioners to look. We basically took the four questions that had to do with the culture to help really identify and key in on our mission, vision, and core values. But there's eight more questions that I think would be very beneficial and encouraging to you on things like environment and services and things that might be helpful for you to hear what the citizens had to say.
How about the comment from Jim Lawson, the new P&Z guy at Branson Landing? Didn't he say he was going to try to use this in some way in his planning? And
yes, actually, they're very excited to look at how they can actually incorporate this into their comprehensive plan for the area of Branson and into the future. There's some wonderful stories. McDonald's Corporation has come to us looking at putting this into their pay stubs for their employees. We have Church Army asked to have a copy of each of these frames up in each one of their houses. The hotels have asked to put these up in their hotels. So it's these framed copies are available for any citizen, any business, any organization. We can bring those to you. Businessmen from the community have committed that as their gift to the community. So we just want to get these up on 1,000 walls so anybody can contact us and we can bring these to your place of residence or business or church.
All right. Anything else? Well, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
See you. Appreciate you taking time to come over.
We'll keep doing great work out here. This is a great place. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Okay. Next on our agenda is Huntington Road. Randy, you ready to give us an update? We've got a review already, I guess. Yeah.
We've got a review and got a nice aerial map. We couldn't get the projector to.
Oh, shucks.
This road is road name Huntington Drive. Huntington Green Estates Phase 1 is the name of the subdivision. It's a road that is off of T Highway area. About a half a mile long road, recently surfaced within a year or two. It currently has about 6 homes on it. The road is basically good shape as far as the surface. A couple areas in ditch lines need to be cleaned. One cross culvert needs to be installed. Does have a turnaround, and on my recommendation, class 4 if taken into the county system. We'll note that this currently hasn't been petitioned yet. So.
Right. Cross culvert, where does that need?
In the area of lot 15 and 16 on this particular road, I've noticed areas where water had been crossing the road and doing damage to the opposite side. that area actually needs a cross culvert put in there.
Okay. Is that close to the power line, remember?
No, it's uphill from the power line.
Okay.
I can show you right where it's at if you're doing that now. Okay.
There's a 215-16.
Oh, I see. All right. Okay.
I had a question. One question. Of course, familiar with this road, isn't it? Right down the road where we improve the Painter Road.
Right, just entrance. Before you get to Painter.
Right.
Yeah.
Has this road, does it meet the criteria as far as our four-year plan and the, I know it's, it has the number of homes is available. I'm just trying to catch up on the refreshment of the criteria as far as the, because you said it hadn't been petitioned yet. That was a concern to me as far as.
I really don't know when the first lot was sold or when this subdivision was initiated as far as the timeline after the first lot was sold, if that's what you're referring to.
Right.
I didn't check into that.
Well, I'm just trying to refresh myself on what the criteria that we laid out and how it met those. When we have something come before us that hadn't been petitioned by the public, it makes a little bit of difference in the way we approach the taking in of a county road. If it doesn't have, I think it's supposed to have 4 years of be laid out in a subdivision for 4 years, and all the other things that go along with it, the 50-foot road easement. Randy's mentioned that you get everything covered pretty well with the drainage deal. We'd have to replace one culvert, looks like a 15-inch culvert, which we require 18s and things like that. But I was just wondering if it met the four-year, because I knew the Painter Road entrance was a road, there was some, I won't say controversy, but some talk about the subdivision there and the hookup of between it and Painter Road at one time. And I just wanted to make sure that if we had people here for or against, that we could answer those questions as far as the time limit, the because usually that's all covered within our road petition, when we receive a road petition with the signatures and all those things, it has dates on them.
Mr. Strahan, I believe the basic criteria is...
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. The basic criteria that you're speaking... Frank Preston, Taney County Road and Bridge. The basic criteria that you're speaking of is 4 years or 60% built out. I don't know if it meets either of these requirements. It may meet both. Randy did state that it, as far as geometry-wise and construction, it does meet all of the county criteria. He's rather pleased to see the way that it was built.
Have you got to look at it, Frank?
Only by video this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mr. Gerken, would you come up and kind of come up to the mic, give us a little history of... He had talked to Mr. Hershen back some time ago, and give us a little of that, if you would.
Okay. Well, I can give you some history on the subdivision, and I apologize for the process we're going through today, and I appreciate you putting it on the agenda. Most of this problem, I think, is because of my misunderstanding. I didn't realize it had to go to a petition. The subdivision started in 2005 by George Kramer, myself, and Jan Blaze. We've basically sold out. I think we have three lots in there or something like that. We went through the planning process, constructed the road. It was inspected twice by the county, and one point Mr. Hershen was at that time the commissioner and said, you know, it's all set. And so we thought that it was a county road at that point and moved on. One of the people that built a house there called me this past summer and said, who's responsible for the road? And I said, it's a county road. She called me back a while later and said, well, the county hasn't taken it. And I said, well, sure they have. They told us they took it in. But, in fact, they haven't. So that's kind of the history on the road. I think Bobby Gross is here. He lives out there. He can speak on it as well. And, in fact, I know his wife Michelle and Bobby have got some signatures for the petition. She was, again, smarter than I am and found out that they needed a petition. And so she got the petition and started getting the signatures and all of that. So I apologize for that part of it. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
I see no problem with the report, the road. I'd just like to see us go through the process so that we don't open a can of worms for every road that comes through the county and someone wants to proceed. I think if Bobby has started that process and we get everything, I personally have no problem with the road, but I want to see the process followed until we decide to change the road and bridge standard or process. I would like to see it.
Okay,
followed.
I do think he has the 12 signatures necessary.
Yeah, and if you do, well, that's fine. And what I would make a motion is to table this until that's presented to us, verified by the clerk that these are residents and so on and so forth. And Bobby, I see no problem with what you presented and the time frame. If it's, I just want you to know that there's other places in the county that would take advantage of this situation coming forward without all the proper documentation. And I don't want to get into that situation. So as soon as the road, the signature verified, I have no problem with your road. And Mr. Gerken.
Okay. Come on up, Bobby.
Yeah, I'm Bobby Gross, and I am a resident in that subdivision. And actually, I had no idea that, and this morning, I had no idea that's the route we were going, that this was the proper steps wasn't being followed. I had talked to you a couple of times just at the gas station seeing you and asking you what I needed to do, and I did get a petition packet and started that process, and like I say, got the signatures and all. And so I actually, this morning, I thought this was all, so I apologize. I didn't know this wasn't the standard procedure. I thought this was, we was going on just like it was supposed to go, and that this, because I knew that it was supposed to go before the commission at one stage in the process. So that's what I thought this stage was this morning. So I apologize on that. I had no idea that, you know, that we were kind of jumping out of order or anything like that. So
that's fine, and that's not unusual for people not to understand what is in the road standard or petition. So that's fine. If you can get with Mr. Preston, go through, and I think he has to turn that in to the clerk and get the signatures verified.
Okay.
And like I said, all the other criteria that you've shown here shows that we can take this road in with ease.
Okay.
But I just don't want to proceed without giving everybody in the county the same fair chance.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and I apologize. I had no idea that this was kind of out of order or whatever.
That's fine. A lot of people don't understand that. I'm glad you brought it to the attention.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, get road and bridge, and then I think they take them to the clerk, don't they? And then after that process comes to us. We'll have an overview, and we may... We may not even bring that before the public on a Monday meeting at that point. Once we see, because we've seen all the material that needs to be seen, we may vote on this outside the Monday meeting if there's not anybody that says there's a problem, you know, that sometimes you have people that file a remonstrance against something, but that's fine.
How about just making your motion to table till what do we got tomorrow? Give Donna time to look at that.
Do you have the 12 signatures
already? Bobby thinks he does. We'll have to verify them. But.
Okay. Well, that's fine, or we can post it next Monday. We'll all be here, and if there's anybody with a question, well, that'll be fine.
Okay.
Like I said, you yourself, you don't have any concerns, do you?
No, I went out and looked at it.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to cover all bases, Bobby, on the...
Right.
Along with the verification of signatures, there's a public notification procedure that's also required. So what I'd like to do is just hand you a petition package and talk you through the process, and then it sounds like once we make it through that process, then a decision will be made. But aside from the signature, there's just a few other things to do. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'll second the motion to table, and we'll get her posted at another time. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. What else we got? Thank you, Randy, for getting that together for us.
Any other things you've got? I don't have anything else for...
No, Jim had kind of started going through last week's agenda, so I might do that just real quick. We got through our budget. It's open for the public to look at. We did have to come back and make a couple of little changes, juvenile and... Oh, shucks, forgot the other one, but one other small extension, which has resulted in about maybe $7,000 additional together, something like that. Wednesday we did some dirt agreements, which is where property owners allow us to dump fill and whatnot that we work with. It saves us time and in some cases help them fill up a lot or something. We did four or five of those, I think. Wednesday, we met at the Hollister City Hall, Ozark Regional Economic Partnership. Focus is on looking at our region as a whole, Southwest Missouri as a whole, and working together as communities, counties, whatnot. Good meeting there. Did one change order on Ozark Beach on Thursday. Approved our property and casualty insurance, renewed it, voted on that on Thursday. Groundbreaking on the bridge Thursday. Pretty well it. What did I forget? Yeah, I looked both sides. Yep. Okay. Anything else?
Motion to recess.
Done. We'll start again here in a little bit.